has set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. Let's all stand. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. So glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Yes, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Oh, glory, hallelujah, Jesus said. Let's, Brother Terrence, if you'll come as we sing it. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free.
Glad to see everyone with us this morning. Remember, the Youth Foundation sermon quizzes are downstairs. If you haven't got yours yet, make sure you do. Make sure you read or listen to the children's tapes this month. Or is the invasion of the United States and the church and its condition. So remember those two. Make sure you get your quizzes from downstairs. If you've asked for them, make sure you get them, or they won't be left down there. Let's see, Angie Brown gave us one. It says, remember Clifford Brown, as her husband has got an upcoming colonoscopies coming up, so remember that. Also, June gave me one. It says, one of my mother's houses needs to sell, so remember that. Remember, Sister June, mother's got a couple of houses that needs to be sold, or she's saying one of them. I don't, maybe one of them did sell, but just remember that. Also, remember, Judy Dover is in ICU after surgery, so remember that. My eyes are not that good. I can't read that little stuff. Got to have some glasses for that. But just remember that request also as we pray. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones who may be still traveling on the highways, Lord, wherever they may be today. Come down and bless them. Be with them and guide them. Be with our services here. Bless Dad. Give him strength. Lord, bless the Sunday school classes this morning also. Many requests that was mentioned, many unspoken requests, Lord, be with them and guide them and help them. Bless the families, Lord, of the ones that need a touch. Remember Sister Angie Brown's husband there, Lord, and Jeannie Dover, and Lord, June needing to, one of the houses needs to sell. Lord, just come down and take care of that problem, Lord. And by your stripes, we're all healed, Lord, and everything we need. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Done. Of who he is, and it's no secret what he can do for his bride. Amen. Brother Mark, can you come up this morning with the tithes and offering for us? Let's sing that little chorus, "He Became Me, That I Might Become Him by Grace." Key of C.
Oh, He became me that I might become Him by grace. Oh, He became me that I might become Him. Place that I through His love could take His. For He became me that I might become Him by grace.
Let's all stand as Brother Colley comes.
Oh, He became me that I might become Him by grace. Oh, He became me that I might become Him by grace. For He took my place so that I through His grace could be there. For He became me that I might become Him by grace.
Amen. Amen. It's a great blessing to become Him. So just, you know, give it all. We was just talking this morning, driving up, you know, that's what we have to do. The more of Him we become, the less of us that is. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 140. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thankful that you have been mindful of us, Lord, giving us our health and strength. Fathers, we gather here this morning. Lord, we would like to leave more of us than what we brought in. Oh, God, we ask you to give us strength and give us love and kindness, Lord, one to another. Father, as time passes by, Lord, we know your coming is that much closer. And we all want to be prepared. We lift it up with you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 140. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man.
Put your imaginations in their hearts. Continually are together for war.
They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adders, poison is under their lips.
Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings.
The proud have hid a snare for me, and cause they have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins in for me.
I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord.
O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle.
Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked devices, lest they exalt themselves.
As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them.
Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again.
Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hurt, and violent men to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause and our righteousness.
The righteous shall thank him in thy name. The righteous shall dwell in thy presence.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. That's certainly a prayer for protection against our persecutors, amen. Our greatest adversary is the devil himself. Brother Brown said, if you disagree with people, don't keep fighting against them. Start praying for them. Right. It's the devil doing it, amen. Let's turn to page 140 in your spiral songbook if you have it near you. Are you glad to be the redeemed this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child. So happy in Jesus.
out and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my soul.
Like thee.
so glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercies has followed me. So
glad he found us. Amen. Let's turn to page 174 in the Spiral Songbook. All the Sunday school classes come up. Amen. You know, Brother Branham, he saw that vision of the bride, kept marching. He said, keep marching in the word. Some got a line and he kept screaming, keep in step. Amen. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this life of sin, on my way to that fair city, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go morning that's going to be when the bride of Christ march in there. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to do what we're doing right now. Shake each other's hand and greet them in the name of the Lord. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Now it's time to march in the word. Amen. Let's change the order of the service as our brother comes this morning. I want to greet all of our visitors here. We have quite a few, but you're just a part of us in the body of Christ, and we just want to welcome you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Amen.
I want to see him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We have some visitors back there, and we always say to you, when you come first time, you're welcomed. You come any more after then, you're just part of us. So welcome to those. We got another special little fella back there. I think it's his first time, right? You got a little Samuel back in the corner. It's his first time, so he gets a welcome. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Glad to have these with us, and pray that you just, you know, join right in with the service and just have a good time in the Lord, because that's what we're all here for anyway, right? If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll read just one verse, and then we'll go into our other 1 Corinthians 14. Now remember, by way of announcements, the Lord willing, where's Aaron? Is he in the back?
He's back there.
Okay, Aaron, you preaching tonight? I mean Wednesday night? He got the message. Okay. Now don't get that Aaron with the next Aaron. Okay. All right, Brother Aaron will be preaching for us this coming Wednesday. Okay, fellowship meeting, Saturday, 3:30. And that's coming up, so get everything ready, all for it. Sister Esther wants to meet with all of the sisters after the about 1:15 today, to where she can kind of get some things to tell you what we need to do and whatever's to be done. So contact Sister Esther about that and meet at 1:15. All right. Now, the Lord willing, this afternoon after the evening service, we'll be running down to Terrence's house and have a baptismal service. Zach wants to get baptized. He wants it done today. So, Zach Black. So that's one. We want to get him done today. If he wants it today, we'll take off. Okay. Brother Aaron McGarry, I guess the way you pronounce it, close, will be preaching the fellowship meeting and also the, both the Sunday services and everything is set up. All right. So let's see. Sister Esther, make sure I get them all. I'll try to forget everything. Brother Ernie Villanueva will be here with us on the 9th. Now, we originally announced that he would be here the 16th, I think. But we had to move it back because of the banquet for the church and thing. So, Brother Ernie Villanueva will be with us, Lord willing, on the 9th. Sister Frieda wants to be baptized too? Okay. Hey, okay, we got another one. Anybody else? we'll be glad to take them all and have everybody lined up. Okay, take care of that. All right. Let's see. Anything else? All right. Anything else that I've missed?
The Lord knew this, but they warmed water up 60-something.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. He kind of warmed things up for us anyway. It could have been real cold. Of course, we don't worry about that. We baptized when you didn't know how you was baptized because you know, Lord Jesus Christ sounds odd when you can't get your words out, but He knows from the heart what you're doing and what you're trying to do. My wife, when she was baptized, it was ice froze on all of the lake around there and everything, and it was frozen in her hair and everything like that, you know, doing. So if you're sincere, it'll work. Never had one bad cold, and I've been baptizing for 50 years, I guess, and never had one bad cold out of the whole thing. So that's a pretty good record. I thank God for that, don't you? Amen. Amen. So just remember all of these announcements. Okay. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace. We thank you for your love and understanding of us. And we pray that you would just have your way now as we go into the service you undertake and have your way with each and every one of our hearts. And let your loving grace be with us. Bless us all together in you. Forgive our sins and lead us by thine understanding. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What have we got? Let all things be done decently and in order. So you may be seated. The Lord had his blessing. So you see, it's going to be something different. It's not just a thing, but we've got kind of a New Year's starting out. So we'll just call it a New Year's resolution, ever how y'all want to call that. You know, you never keep them anyway. But we're going to try to make some to keep them. All right. So there's going to be some things said. Then we'll try to get into the service. So I'll try to run through fast. Now, remember, now we're trying our best to be a church to serve God and to be right with the Lord in what we do. So let all things be done decently and in order. So there's an order to everything and the things that we, you know, we wonder and talk about, there is an order to it. Okay. Now, I know it's hard for you to do it, but would you please? I know I've asked this before and I know it's not working. And I'm saying it won't work this time, but I'm saying it. So you're going to be guilty. When you come in, there's a sign down there that says, turn off all cell phones. You're not doing it. You're sitting texting. You're sending messages to people. You're doing things. And that's not right. Now, you say, well, you know, like I told one person we was talking about, they said, well, what about so-and-so being sick? We've got two or three telephones that are connected, landline to the church. And then you have Brother Joe's on cell phone. So if something goes wrong and you need it, you can do that in a hurry. All right. There's no excuse to say, yes, but I need to check on my family after service. After service, check on your family. Anything goes wrong, we will be glad to give you an information. You know, stop the services and say, you need to do this. Okay. But you're doing it in disrespect because you're sitting texting and all that stuff like that. And then every once in a while you get the beeps comes in. So, you know, all right. So take care of that. I know here I am one Sunday after making the announcements like that and all we do human errors, but I was sitting there one day and I'd forgot to turn mine off. And here I am scrambling for it to get it turned off. You know, and I did. I got it done. But Anna was sitting looking at me laughing because she knew I got caught. It was just an accident. And we do those things. That's an accident. That's a problem. It wasn't intended for me to do it because I don't fool with that phone anyway. All right? But now listen. To you adults and to the children, please get things right about going to the bathroom. We're a very small group of people and things. you say, but my children, well, that's all right. I'm not saying nothing to nobody. I'm just saying plain language. All right? Before service, all you got to do is take your children to the bathroom. And if they can't sit an hour and all like that, I'd advise you to think things over at home when they're sitting 2 and 3 hours with a telephone and working and never even go to the bathroom. Right? And it kind of wind up like old brother told me one time. He said, I can sit and wail. He said, I can wail for 5 hours and never even hardly get out of position. And then the problem was he was complaining that the services was too long. But he killed his own point because he said he could sit there 5 hours. Yeah. I'm not telling you this, you know. We don't want a bunch of wet pampers running around, okay? D riding decently and everything. Something goes wrong, you take care of it. All right? But does it have to be all time? You say, well, we can't do it on Sunday morning. There's a lot of things we can't do on Sunday morning because of up and down. Well, what about Sunday evening and Sunday night? You know. I see some of you that are respectable. I say, Brother Ray, as quick as that morning service starts to a certain spot, he's gone to the bathroom and back. He never goes again until after the service is over.
That's right.
All right. Now, we should all think about everybody else. No, we think about ourselves. Well, bless God, I'm not going to. Well, okay. Now, the prophet said it. I didn't. He said one person could cause a church to fail. And said, you're going to be responsible. Now remember, your children are going to do what you want, what you let them do. And them little puppy dog eyes, you know, look at you. Oh, that little old bitty Samuel back there already, he's already got to even look them eyeballs around. He'll get used to it and everything. You know, it'll do. But just try to do what's right.
Amen.
You know, we're not telling you, you've got to sit there. No, we're telling you, do what's right.
Amen.
Get it done before service. You know, go by the bathroom before service. You say, yeah, but my kids are... No, no. You're making excuses. So don't make... Now, I'm being as sincere as I can, but as loving as I can, okay? Now, if you don't think this is a loving way, I can get it different. I can bring the prophet of what he said and read it and say, you are an unbeliever because you're not doing this.
Right.
I'm not doing that. I'm being serious. I'm being sincere and trying to do the best that I can. All right? Now, no one necessarily talking. We shouldn't have a lot of talking in the sanctuary outside of what did the prophet say? Tell the person, see you outside.
Amen.
See you outside. But I've seen some of you stop and talk and take on conversations while the service, you know, right at the end of the service. That's not correct. That's not. The prophet said one child running through a church would hinder the next service. So now if you let your child run through the church or you get up and talking and you're running backwards and forth, you do it, then you hinder the next service. Now who's responsible? Well, hey, come on, church. We're serving a God. We're not playing just to try to go to church and be good and have a book of rules and everything. I've always said one thing, and I believe it. Christianity is not a rule. Christianity is a love affair between us and God. And if we want Him to come in our services, we must invite Him. We must honor Him and respect Him. All right? Now, no congregating and things, you know, and doing things. And like from the doors back yonder way, we can't help it. We come up the steps, and I'm just as guilty. I'm not throwing off to you. I'm guilty. We come up talking and things. But the closer we get this away, it ought to be a whole lot quieter. Because it's, you know, respecting this sanctuary. We ain't got a great big building, great big thing to where we can do. It's a problem, but that still we can handle it. All right? But see, sometimes you'll hear, and we've had trouble back there of people talking. Right? They shouldn't be over two people in that tape room or ever who's working. The dress should be out here. This is where we are supposed to meet. All right? We play the tape. We thought that idea would work good because The prophet said, get to church, what, 30 minutes before time. Sit down and read your Bible and be quiet, right? Waiting for the service. So we started playing the tape of the prophet for 20 minutes for us to come in on, then playing for 20 minutes, then it switches over and you have live music and things for 10 minutes for the services. We should honor that. It doesn't matter who it is. We should come in, sit down, and hear the prophet. Amen. Well, that's taking away my... yeah, that's taking away your talking time. So, but remember, we're supposed to be serving God. Amen. As I said, Christianity is not a requirement. It's a joy. Amen. Why don't you want to come in and hear the prophet? Get yourself out of the way. Get here early. Uh-oh.
Amen.
You sure do it at work.
Yeah.
You do it at all other things. Let me call you up and say, we'll go eat supper. You'll be there right on time. Right? Well, then there's no excuse for anything else. Now, we're not making excuses. We're talking plain. We should all come into the sanctuary 30 minutes before and sit down and be respectful as the tape is playing and hearing the prophet. I think it's doing a good work.
Amen.
I think it's bringing the presence of the Lord more into the services.
Amen.
Than it is to just be running backwards and forth.
Right.
Now listen, I know everybody ain't capable of coming up a lot of time, but now don't start the excuses. Well, I can't get up. Sunday morning might be an excuse. Because you're a teacher, you're handling a class, you're doing this, that's God. That's all. But each one of you teachers should say to your children, maybe way down to the adults, you know, boy to the bigger, you know, hey, if you need to go to the bathroom, you're excused.
Sure. Right.
Of course, expect all of them to leave. Yeah. I mean, okay. But listen. As I said, I know some of you can't do it. All right. Now, we're not complaining. We're talking. There should be no children come up here to practice music without an adult.
Amen.
No children come up here to practice without an adult being with you. And I know. Listen, come on. You sitting here and you having to tell, well, what song are we playing? What are we doing? You're being, but be sincere about it. Be quiet. You don't have to holler. Boy, that was good. I'm sitting in the study a lot of times, okay? All right. I try not to run out and say nothing, but sometimes I hear things a little bit too loud. That's what I'm saying. No children to be up here now. Children, don't come up here to play unless you got an adult to come up with you.
Amen.
All right? No children doing that unless you're accompanied by an adult and controlled by that adult. Be sure that all are notified of the parts and the practicing and the singing. You know, let them be notified because that's what it needs to be. Make sure all are instructed in the singing and the thing because you need to be. Somebody needs to be in charge. Appoint someone. Come to me. I'll appoint one. And when I appoint one, that's a law. You want to quote from the prophet? The pastor's the only one got a right to put in and take out anyone he wants to. Now, that's, you want that quote? You say, yeah, but we're not according to denominations. We're according to what the prophet says. All right? Now, listen. Make sure all are contacted about your singing groups and your things that you're doing. All right? Make sure everybody is contacted. Tell them in the classes. Tell them in the what. Tell them up here. We'll announce it. We do a lot of times announce everybody's to meet. So make sure everybody knows that and follows that because you're in charge. All right? then, you know, don't let the children get back there and run up down the stairway. I have to say something and have had to say something to children about that. I try to say it and don't tell the mamas and daddies. I'm just a doty old granddaddy. I'm sorry. I just play with the kids around here a little bit myself, you know, because they're kids. And I don't scream and holler to you that your kid is doing so and so. I tell the kids, hey, calm it down. But they'll be running up and down the stairway, running up and down the stairway, laughing and hollering. Because they're children. But this is a church. This is not a town hall. All right? Now, we had a list before, and we need to get back to it. I'm asking the song leaders, the three of you, to get together and get you a list. Because you're missing some people that are not, that are capable of singing. You're missing them and not getting to them. You say, well, they don't tell me. It's your job. The list should be put down on the refrigerator all month long, year long. Somebody do that. Somebody take it and do it and put it and let so-and-so sing. So-and-so sing. All right. Go by there, song leaders. Go by for your service. Look at the thing. Yeah, but they're supposed to, no, they're not supposed to come to you. You're the song leader. You're supposed to make sure it runs right. Because if they're not here, you're supposed to get somebody else. Right? If they're not here to sing, you're supposed to get somebody else. Well, how are you going to know? Okay, so don't come to me with those points, see? Okay. We'll have it made up to where that the names will be there, and you make sure they sing. All right? Now, we have a little problem a lot of times with you need to clean up the area you're sitting in. You need to clean up the area you sit in. Don't throw down things and let things do. You need to clean up where you're sitting. It's your children and all. And so clean it up to end of the service. Take a little time and pick up the papers and the things and all, you know. I mean, it's okay. All right? Now make sure, especially downstairs, that where you eat at and things, that you clean up that area. Well, I didn't, see, don't start that.
Right.
If you want to come up here, I get here, I'm nine times out of ten, and I'm the first one here. And you know what I'll do most of the time? I didn't get to do it today because I was running some things and trying to think a little. I go out and look over the parking lot and clean up everything. You come out and get out of your car and there's a Coke can or something. Is there any problem to stop and picking that up and go put it in the trash can? I ain't picking up the trash out there. It ain't my job. I didn't know we had jobs like that. I didn't know we had to have a job as a this. I thought it was that. I help the janitor as much as I can. Right? We should all be that way. There should be no drinks brought into the sanctuary. Now listen, I've been plain. I try to be, and I know I get in trouble, because here goes trouble. Brother Dick Addison had problems with his sugar and the things like that. I allowed him to bring a drink in. I didn't, and I'm putting it on here. I didn't like the way he carried it in out and over in front of everybody. He could have put it in a can and slid it in the seat. That's up to him if he hears that, and he'll know I don't like it that way. See, I don't like the point of us doing things to make it look like we're doing. If I give you permission to bring a Coke in or a water, you should hide that water in your pocket. Not hold up, Brother Dale told me I could do this. Yeah. No, it shouldn't be. Because in most churches, you'd get it straight and blunt, right? No water, drinks, period, in the sanctuary, period, right? Come on. I try to be nice. I try to be. Okay. Everything should be done decently and in order. I believe children that are like 6, 7 years of age, they should be sitting up in a pew listening to the service. I know children. Hey, I love them, and you know that, and these children know it. They know it from the bottom of my heart that I love them, and I want to help them and do anything in the world I could for them. But you should be, little children should sit up. Now, if they get sleepy, they're going to lay over and go to sleep. That's a kid. But don't come with a planning, you know. What are you going to do today? Now lay me down to sleep? Don't plan it. Okay. People, you know, children should be monitored to the point of, say, get up, kids, and sit down. You shouldn't be drawing, coloring, painting, doing things like that in the service if you're over that 6, 7 years of age. And control them underneath that. You know. But you understand what I'm saying? I see some bringing in great big bags of things, backpacks, all like that. I don't think we need that in church. I mean, you know, well, I want color. Well, my kids want, well, how old are they? Okay. Anything shouldn't be brought into the sanctuary that shouldn't be there at all. Control your children and their actions. And if necessary, you take your children out. So that they don't interfere with the services. Anything wrong with that? I ain't saying when you know, you and I can pull you and you get Brother Branham, I'll show you where Brother Branham perhaps he puts it down to the point. Boy, I mean he lays it down strong. And then right at the end of that service, there's kids in there crying like everything. He ain't saying a thing. He's a doty old granddaddy. You think Brother Branham was a hard, stern guy? No. He was honest and sincere. He had a heart of love. He did not say, go back there and run that kid out of the room. No, we're not saying nothing like that. If you think that's what it is, you're the one thinking wrong. Kids are going to be kids, just like that one. They're going to say things and do things. They're going to cry. They're going to do. You have to take care of them. They're kids. But now 14 years old is enough. Right? I don't mean that to you kids at 14. That just number come out. Okay. All right. Let me get a little bit and then we'll get on to the service today. See, control your children. Make them act and do right. And then don't, if one of the deacons or somebody corrects one of your children, you get all blowed up and puffed up. If you're going to be that way, we'll leave. I didn't ask you to come. Is that blunt enough? I didn't ask you to come here. I ain't going to beg you not to leave. But I'm going to tell you where we stand and what we stand for. If you don't like that, then okay, that's the situation. You got to deal with it. I've done everything I could to try to be nice and help you and do for you, spend money on you, give you thousands and thousands of dollars and all like that to do this, that, and the other, send the kids to camps, do all kind of things. When some of it I didn't even agree with parts of things myself. But yet I've done it to try to be a good pastor, to help you to your children to where they can grow up and want to be right. Remember, you're in charge of that child. That's right. Now, who was it said it? Let's see. I'm going to paraphrase it, I guess. You know, it's your responsibility for your children to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right. Somebody made that statement just recently now. I don't remember what it was. But you know, it's a good statement. You know, you're responsible to bring them to church. You're responsible to tell them what it is to be a Christian. You expect they're supposed to be looking at you to see what a Christian is supposed to be like. You know that all of that should be. Okay. Now listen, I've noticed this one around here and I just say a word about it. Okay. I've noticed a lot of your sisters. And when I say sisters, that goes from Nanny, which is 77, I guess, the oldest. No, Sister Cletus. Excuse me, Sister Cletus. Look around back there. I'm talking to her down to the youngest little child. Look, your high heels is getting a little bit too high. Yeah. Now, that, you won't get the prophet. See, that's where that I get in trouble by saying things to people. But if I preach what most preachers preach, you'd be in bad shape. I don't preach on hair and dress and clothes. I expect a mom and daddy to take care of their children. I preach Christianity. I preach being born again will take care of the cutting of hair and the clothes. But then when you start seeing it ease out and gets a little bit and, you know, come on, church. You sisters know what I'm talking about. It's true. You say, well, our sisters are on. Yeah, there's a lady, what's her name, that's got hired that just walks along and it drags behind her. Crystal Gale, you know. I ain't against her. That's none of my business. I'm just saying, you know yourself, it's cut straight across. Yeah. So that means she's cutting it. Well, no matter how long it is, she's cutting it. Right. Right. See? Hey, girls, don't be deceived. Don't think, well, I can sneak and get my hair trimmed. Anybody that knows any sense at all, look at you and see this cut straight across. Hair don't grow straight across. It grows different lengths. Okay? But see, you should be concerned about your high heels, your clothes. I'll still put our church against anybody in the message. I ain't worried about it, so I ain't throwing nobody out. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you girls. I'm proud of you boys. I'm proud of you very much. I've always been very proud. I pray for you every day because I want you to do right in God and be right as a Christian, but not have to be beat to death about everything. It irks me to have to say things like I'm saying today because I want you to do what you're supposed to do as a Christian. Why would you not want to do that? Moms and dad, look at your children, what they're wearing. See? Yeah. But just remember, you need to look over at your wife every once in a while. And if her knees is shining, something's close. Okay. See? Remember, girls, but I'm just as bad. Now, listen, I'm not against the girls. And for the boys, come on, boys, we get the same thing. We're the ones that are supposed to be the head of the home. Right? We're supposed to be the one to direct our wife. But does she direct us? She stomp that little foot. Yeah, you need to stomp her back. Now, I don't mean on top of her foot. Could get you in trouble. The only time I ever done anything to, I guess, was disrespectful. Excuse me, my wife and I had a little few words, and she went home with just a little bit out of the house, and she went home, and she went inside. Well, I guess she done the sensible thing. She locked the door. Well, when I got there, I tried the door. It didn't work. I didn't have no key. I said, hey, let me in. This is 45 years ago, maybe 50, I guess. Anyhow, hey, let me in. I said, if you don't let me in, I'm going to knock the door down. Well, by the time I tapped it one time gently, the second time the door opened. So remember, they will mind you. They may not like it. But we're still supposed to be the one in charge. Right? So I'm not throwing off on the girls or the boys. I'm talking about all of us. See? We're supposed to be a Christian example to live before our children and want them to live like us. Then we say, see, well, Brother Dale, why does my children like this? I'm not disrespectful. I'm very proud of my family. I'm very proud of the situation they've come through and life they've existed with, and you know, I think they've turned out to be pretty good kids. Maybe needs a knock on the head a few times every once in a while, but you know, it's true. But still, they're kids and they've grown up. And for people to brag about them to me is a great thing. It makes me feel good. Because at least we've done. We've had people say, what did y'all do? You know what we've done? We prayed for them. You know what we've done? We tried to live before them. Oh, we failed. Yeah, yeah. Because y'all going to do that. Everybody, we're going to fail. But you say, well, how come your children come to the Lord? Well, and mine didn't. Well, no. I'm sorry. I've had preachers or people to say, well, there, your son is a preacher. Well, see, they'd be tickled to death for their son to be a preacher. I didn't make him a preacher, but I sure did pray a lot for him.
Amen. Amen.
I'm trying to just be serious about all of us. Amen. We're supposed to be Christians.
Amen.
Living for the world to look at.
Right. Amen.
Well, that ain't my problem. Well, according to the Bible, it is.
Yes,
so if I've offended you, anything I've said today, I'm sorry for offending you, but I'm not sorry for what I say, because I'm going to say it. And I'm not going to say just me and my, my family. You ought to live like my family. No. You sort of should live like a Christian.
Amen.
You should be a Christian in every action and in ways and things. And maybe your children would like to be about that way. If nothing else, they'll highly respect you if you'll just live right and be right. They might not tell you, but they'll highly respect you down the road if you do that. Because we're all Christians and being Christians. All
right?
Because that's what we should be. We should be Christians. Not to have to be. I enjoy it. I'm having a good time. Not carnal illustration, I guess, but, you know, I never had no problem working at General Motors. I was making a living.
Amen.
And I ran jobs that sometimes it'd take two people to run them when I wasn't there. I worked. But I never done it on the basis of it. I done it because they was paying my bills. They was giving me money to make a living. You know, I didn't have to do anything wrong. I was just being what I was being. I worked. Well, that's what I think about a Christian, is sort of just be there. And live before them with what you'd want them to be. Now, I'll end it by saying this, because remember, the way you live before them is the way they will be. Did that come out right now? You want them to live and be right. Well, remember, the way you live is the way they're going to follow. So then, try to be a Christian. Try to be a Christian all the time. All right? Okay? Just try to be a Christian. I got just a little thought, so. Let's think about something. Okay, I'm over with that. Any questions, any thoughts, anything you want to say against me or for me or whatever, just go ahead. Write notes, give them to them, and tell me anything. I'll do the best I can, because that's what I am. But I want to ask you questions. I love questions.
Amen.
I do. Brother Brown said questions makes a strong church.
Amen.
Now listen, questions without answers don't make a strong church. Now what's he saying? Questions with an answer from God is no longer a question. It's a statement of fact or a point. Right? So then when he says something, you know, think about what he's saying. Questions makes a strong church because it makes us dig in. I want to ask you a question. How many times is it in the Bible where it uses the word eternal covenant? Now, I don't want to ask to raise a hand. I'm trying to get a point for the message, what I'm talking about. But write down how many times you think it would be in the Bible. Now, some of you will catch real quick on this one, so, all right, I'll let you cheat sheet just a little. How many times is in there that it's called an everlasting covenant? So I said, see, someone's already shaking your heads because you got the cheat sheet from way back. You've got what you've read and heard, okay? But it's odd, isn't it? Why would God, I believe I'm right now, it says everlasting covenant, I believe it's 15 times. It's not in the Bible at all that says eternal covenant. Now, eternal life is there.
Amen.
And all like that. That's why I thought of this the other day when I was ending up in the message. Remember Brother Brandon says, he says, we believe in eternal heaven. He said, we believe in an eternal God or something. He had about three things. He said, but we don't believe in an eternal hell. He said, we don't believe in that. He said, because anything had a beginning has an ending. So we don't believe in the eternal hell. We've been taught that all of our life and thought the Bible said it. But the Bible in no way ever teaches hell is to be an eternal. Because hell had a beginning. It was created, the Bible said, for the devil and his angels. It will be burned up one day in the lake of fire. All right? So then, there's no such thing as an eternal hell. But yet there's an eternal life. There's an eternal heaven. But yet that'll be destroyed one day, so then how are you going to explain that? I'm just asking you simple questions. Something that maybe means nothing to you, but it rings a bell with me, and you just think, oh, but why? Why would it not be 5,000 times that it would say an eternal covenant? Why would it say an everlasting covenant more times than to say an eternal covenant? See, that's what makes the joy in my heart is to think of these things. And they come out and then you pray and you seek God. How many of you remembers the quote that I gave the other day? Where Brother Branham said on things that are to be. Said, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That still has nothing to do with it. That's just only a temporal gift for you. No, that's what he said. It's a temporal gift. Why would Brother Branham call such an eternal point of eternal life and the thing? But to talk about a baptism of the Holy Ghost that we all said this is where we get born again, we get this, we get that, we get all the things, we, you know. And the prophet says it's a temporal gift. A temporary gift. Now, according to my sense and knowledge, I thought the word temporary meant something that wasn't eternal, you know, that had, it's something wrong with it. Why would your prophet call it a temporal gift? Why would the Bible speak of an everlasting covenant 15 times and never speak of an eternal covenant? But yet, we're in the message. But see, if you read, you get an answer. So you know a real certain verse. You know I don't fool around with all this garbage can that's running out now saying Brother Branham was wrong. I say it plain language. If some of them dummies will come and even halfway come up to what the prophet taught, I don't know where I'd even want to listen to them or not then, but I'd at least think more about them if they come up with some kind of a sensible answer to a lot of things. Do you have eternal life? Yes, you can have eternal life. But you don't have an eternal covenant. Wow. Well, you say, oh, that's just the Old Testament. Because it starts out in Genesis about the first time is when Noah and the rainbow. And he said, I give you an everlasting covenant. Right. Comes on over a little bit to Abraham and changing him from Abram to Abraham. And he said, I'll give you an everlasting covenant. It comes on over further into the Old Testament of dealing with Israel as a nation. And he said, I'll give you an everlasting covenant about the land and the things. Huh? But then you jump over to where we read, or we hadn't read it, so I better read it. You'd be thinking I'm reading wrong. Go ahead, brother. Hebrews 13. Look what Paul has to say. Now, this is New Testament. Okay. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for it is unprofitable, for it is unprofitable for you. Now, remember, they watch after your souls. So now something down here is going to pop out in a minute, and you're going to see what it means. Go ahead. Pray for us. We trust you have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you rather to do that, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. As I said, we could follow it through the Old Testament and look at it and talk about an everlasting covenant, because we'd know that you did not have eternal life in your soul. You did not have eternal life in your body or spirit in the Old Testament, right? So then in knowing that, we know for certainty that it's an everlasting. It's not eternal. Eternal life was not a product of the Old Testament. Maybe the wrong way of saying that, but the New Testament has the eternal life that it speaks of. That it speaks of a New Testament. You had an Old Testament that would not deal with eternal life, but would deal with things that would be everlasting. A rainbow and all, but remember the rainbow is to be forever. Remember the things you do read in Israel, and be careful, because a lot of that has a point to it that it will be forever. That children of Israel in their land right now, that's in their land. It's theirs. It was given to them. There's an everlasting covenant with those people for that land. All right? So they'll never lose it. I don't care what the enemy does or what they try to do. Israel will never lose that because it's everlasting. But remember, the land is not eternal. Remember, the people are not eternal. All right? Well, why would it be that way? That Paul would speak of a everlasting covenant. Why would he not call it eternal? Why would he not deal with those things? Go ahead and pull up number 5, brothers, and we'll get that, and then we'll take just a minute and we'll close out. try to give you something where you won't go home down and out about it. So all we done got chewed out this morning. He hurt my feelings. Well, after the service is over with, I'll rub you back. Not to women, but I'll let my wife do that. But listen, why would it be? Get the situation. Why would it be? You can follow, as I said, you can follow the everlasting covenant through the Old Testament, right? Because there's not eternal life there. So you can see it's everlasting. Now, when you get to the New Testament with a new covenant and the new things, why would Paul call it an everlasting covenant? Why would he not call it an eternal covenant? See, one of these days you're going to realize why I keep hollering and screaming. The new birth is the birth of the Word. It is that Word that you take. All of that I put on the anointing was what? Justification, chops off your past sin. Sanctification, cleansing, sets aside the garment. But remember, at sanctification, the Word being brought into your soul is what drives out the devil, the unclean spirit. But it also plants that Word within there to where that when the Holy Ghost does come, it can make you alive. Right? But remember, it only makes your soul alive. It doesn't make your body alive. It doesn't make your spirit alive. It makes your soul alive. All right. Now look what your prophet had to say. Listen close now, taken from the Message Token, 1963. Do you recognize the Son who is saved in Egypt and the things of blood, the blood lamb is the type of Jesus Christ? In Hebrews 13, 10, and 20. I ain't got time to read it. Put it down. I was going to read it. It's called the Everlasting Covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ is called the Everlasting Covenant. Yes, sir. Everlasting Covenant. Why is it not called Eternal Covenant? You say, well, it's interchangeable between everlasting and eternal. Go ahead. You're just running yourself blind. Let's read what the prophet says. Then we know what it's meant by it. Then we know why in the Old Testament it could be an everlasting covenant. Because none of it was eternal. A prophecy coming forth of the children of Israel where it says one time that he would give them an everlasting covenant, which would be the prophecy that God would come and live in you. Right? Going to Jeremiah and Isaiah and things. Just run in everlasting covenant when you, and see what I'm talking about. But look, why wasn't it called eternal covenant? Because that it wouldn't be eternal. Now, Brother Branham. Because that it wouldn't be eternal. Now look at his answer. When we're redeemed, it's all over then. Now watch our point. Listen. When you come into the New Testament, was you following me? From the Old Testament, you had the everlasting covenant. Nothing eternal. But when you come into the New Testament, you had a New Testament, which was speaking of eternal life in the soul of the individual by that new birth. All right? But that never made the body and the spirit eternal. Right? So that's what we're waiting on is eternal life for this body and spirit. And while we're waiting, we're in an everlasting covenant because it's not eternal because we're not fully redeemed. Look, it's an everlasting, which means certain amount of time till time is out. There'll never be another one. When time runs out, we won't need no covenant. Are you listening? But until time runs out, we need the covenant. Are you with me? You don't have an eternal covenant. Sure, you have eternal life by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but that doesn't redeem the body and the spirit. It has to wait. But when redemption is over, You don't need a covenant.
Amen. That's right.
Are you reading it?
Amen.
No covenant.
Amen.
Once it's over, amen. Once you're fully redeemed, once your body, spirit, and soul, which is in the resurrection and rapture, and change and ascension.
Amen.
Now Brother Brenham's right, isn't he? Because that baptism of the Holy Ghost, it don't make your soul, your body eternal.
Nope.
It don't make your spirit eternal.
Nope.
It's temporal.
That's right.
Or temporary.
Right.
It seals the soul. Come on.
Right.
You have eternal life in your soul.
Right.
But your body is not eternal. Your spirit is not eternal. But once you're redeemed. Once you're redeemed, see, you no longer need a covenant. Once you're redeemed, you don't need eternal life. Why? Because you already have it. Right? You already have it. So what is it? Forgive me. No, too far gone. Finishing up. Come on, musicians. Just think on these things. Think about what I was asking the question. It never says eternal covenant. Why? Because it was never meant to be an eternal covenant. It was meant to be a covenant for time. It was meant to be exactly what it turned out to be. A New Testament. But that New Testament is in His blood. But that New Testament only gives you eternal life in your soul. It doesn't make your body and spirit eternal. What about a wonderful point to look back in the Old Testament and say, they spoke of it, but they couldn't bring it.
Amen.
And even the Bible coming into Jesus Christ in the new birth, it could bring eternal life to the soul. But it didn't bring eternal life to the body. Nor the spirit. We're still waiting on that. No wonder I'm redeemed. By love divine. Glory, glory.
Amen.
When my redemption is over, I don't have to have nothing because I already have it.
Amen.
When my body and spirit goes into that change and makes it eternal, I'm eternal in body, soul, and spirit. I don't need a covenant. A covenant is for the point of where you're needing it to keep you from being condemned and destroyed.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So we have an everlasting covenant. What? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Puts us to a place. That's why, church, I don't understand why people don't want to hear that. You realize under sanctification, God cleansed and claimed that body you're living in.
Amen.
You don't never even think about that.
Amen.
That's in future home.
Amen.
He cleansed and claimed that body you're living in, and one day He'll
Amen.
Take possession of it.
Yes.
One day it will be fully redeemed.
Amen.
And when it's redeemed, I don't have to have eternal life because I am eternal life.
Amen.
It dwells within me. That day it'll dwell in my body and my spirit to make it eternal.
Amen.
I don't have to have something over there to say, oh, I'm glad I've got that. I've got a tree of life. No, no, uh-uh. Right here's where it's at.
Amen.
It's just the way that it's stated. But maybe you'd never thought about it. Go home and look it up. It doesn't say eternal covenant.
Amen.
Because, see, if it did, then you'd be in trouble. You'd only, well, maybe that's why the good old Baptist wants to, they don't want to redeem this body. The good old Baptist in this message. Because you'd be surprised how many people in this message say they're going to get a new body. Maybe you believe that. Maybe some of you new ones coming in heard that way back. You're going to get you a new body. Why? I want this body redeemed. Without but one statement, when Jesus raised, he raised with nail prints in his hands. Glorified eternal body with nail prints. He'll always have that. That will never be annihilated. He'll always have those nail prints. But what about when we become just as eternal as he is? Body, spirit, and soul. We already are in soul. We're already in a New Testament. Under a new covenant, yes. But it can only be called everlasting at this period of time. Because it's not finished. Oh, glory, how much this message could bring to us if we just listened to it. How much it could be if we would just read the message and not get our own ideas and thoughts involved in it. Well, I just don't understand how you can be everlasting and eternal. What are you trying to say, Brother Dale? Exactly what your prophet said. That we don't have an eternal covenant because it's not finished yet. So we have an everlasting covenant for time to take care of the space and the point that we are. But one day we'll have a glorified body like unto his glorious body. Then everything will be eternal. Let's stand together. What have we got? Done better than I thought. Bring a stranger on earth I long to be like him. Come on, brother Colin. Wait. Come on, brother Colin. We're going to pray over these. You all heard the story behind the prayer closet at the chiropractor. We was at the chiropractor one day and they said, Sam said, or to us, you know, said, our business is getting real bad. Said, we need help. And I said, well, how about us just giving you a prayer cloth? I said, okay. See, they understand. He's a good Baptist. He's real good. I'd love to see him right here. He'd be a fireball. He wouldn't be a dry-eyed like most of us. But listen, we took a prayer cloth. I said, I got one with me. They put it over the door. She told us the other day, said our business is so great. And I mean, this has been over probably 2 years, I guess, hasn't it? Maybe 3 years ago when we're done. She said, our business is so great, we can't keep up. Amen. Well, it's hard to pray, Lord, you know, jump on that feller's back and break him down where he can go to the chiropractor. So we don't do that. We pray, God, you take care of it. They need the business. So she said the other day, and she had asked us because some kinfolks to them or somebody they know, two of them has got cancer real bad. We sent them some prayer cloth. She told us the other day when we started out, said, could y'all give us some more prayer cloth? Said, we need some more. I said, we'll take care of it. She said, you look, said, it's up over that door. Said, it's still there. See, they believe. They believe God honored their prayers. Amen. Well, you know why that's there? Now, if we went in there drunk and carousing and stomping and feuding and mad as a hornet and everything, they wouldn't be looking at that to help them. No. They looked at us as to be what we are. Just people. God doesn't expect us to be anything different. He expects us to let him be the difference. That should be the whole of all of our lives, is to yield ourselves to him. So let's just pray over these. We'll take a prayer cloth back to them, and I'll go, we need some more up here. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to be able to lay hands on these prayer cloths. We've had them here laying on the desk for a long time. The anointing of all these ministers that's been preaching over them is flowing down to leaving a lot of sometimes slava and stuff from our mouths fall down upon these prayer cloths. Sorry for the wording, Lord, but it's true. But yet, you just come on the scene now as we send these prayer calls, and ever who they go to, you just let your love and your grace be with each one. We love you. We thank you. Bless us and keep us. Sanctify these prayer calls in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. To be like him.